Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my Dog Psychology Radio Show. My name is Dan McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be discussing taking the dog owner into the relational trench. At least that's how I define it. And here I'm going to be talking about this problem with mainstream training as it relates to the picture of change. Now here, when you talk about mainstream dog training, this is where I'm going to provide a little bit of context and some updates today as well for people, is to really understand that the majority of dog trainers, and this, this flows right into dog owners, what's happening here in the dog training world, and this really relates to why there's so much divisiveness, so much debate. However, my attitude about this debate, I'm going to talk about this, I've kind of, pulled back a little bit from the debate, so to speak. But, however, what I'm doing is adjusting the information I'm putting out there to not actually attach individuals' names to it, because really it's a type. I mean, this problem really runs right down, it's like a fault line. It really runs right down the center of everything, this issue of the picture that so many people invest in, and the problem with motives. And not just, this issue just isn't just about the problem with, cleaning up the motives of the dog and why the picture of that mainstream dog training has invested in it so bad. But really, what you're going to talk about today is it's impossible. It's simply impossible to clean up the motives of the dog when the human motives are the problem from the very start. And so, this is why when when I'm looking at this issue of investing in some sort of a debate with dog trainers, or I'll even go so far as to say aligning myself with certain so-called balance trainers, those who use remote collars and such, I look at it and say, really, I'm not being ethical even in doing that. This isn't to do with not getting along with people. I can have a conversation, but when it comes to this whole debate issue, and even with this recent kind of foolishness that's been going on with one particular positive, calls himself a positive reward-based trainer, is that, when engaging with people like this, although this person is extremely, very frustrating, this person can wreak a lot of havoc, in the end, again, what I say, what's the point even engaging with someone like that if you're not actually going to pin that person down with what he's actually doing? You talk about, this issue with response and motives. It's a senseless argument. I mean, I don't understand the some of the debate. Don't get me wrong, I've engaged in a lot of that. However, looking at it now, it's better just to leave people like that to their own devices, leave them alone, because here's the thing. I mean, they're totally relationally blind, and they're never going to understand or get what I'm saying because they're engaged in idolatry. You're going to hear me use that word sometimes here on my shows. It goes deeper than just your picture of change. This goes into the whole issue of self, of this type of narcissistic, ideology, this way of thinking. But really, it goes even further than that. I'll take it right into the majority of dog training in general, even with balanced trainers. And I'll talk about this on today's show, that the reason, even balance, so-called balance trainers, remote collar trainers, whatever you want to call yourselves, the things are going to get worse because there's no counterbalance. There's no one actually talking about this issue the way I'm talking about it at this level. So therefore, if you look at the problem with the attitudes of society, this narcissistic, the prevalent, pervasive attitude, because it's getting to that tipping point level, there's nothing to push it back. Ultimately, balanced trainers are focused on celebrity, identity. They're trying to find, you know, their, you know, they want to make money, of course. We all want to make money. However, it's a major problem because, you know, no one's actually, you know, discussing the real issues. No one's actually pushing the stuff back in a way that's going to fix the big picture. So ultimately, the big picture never gets fixed because these balanced trainers are too focused on kind of like living in their own bubble. And again, a lot of what I have to say on today's show is going to come out very, some hard truth here, but it's just the way it's going down. Now, there's another issue too, going further. I'm going to talk about this issue about remote callers. Again, you know, and I'll talk about this on a couple levels here, you know, why it is that I don't pivot off these devices. It's because of understanding the depth of dogs at the relational, social relational level with how the decision-making process is governed, is that when you pivot off certain devices, like let's say with these remote collar trainers, they're not taking the dog owner into the relational trenches, so to speak, when it comes to change. So bad things are still going to happen, and the blame is still going to be shifted onto dogs. Or you know, when you know meaningful change does happen, these trainers who are pivoting off these devices at this level aren't going to see things clearly, and that's just how it is. But to go further in this problem here again, because I think people really miss the point here when I'm talking, is again, if you really care about dogs, if it's really about fixing the problem here, it's never going to happen because you know it's ego. So much of this, even with remote collar trainers and with balance trainers, you hear them talking. So much of it, they're driven by celebrity and ego. And I'll say that because if that wasn't true, then they would listen to what I'm saying, and they would be seeking truth, and they would make a trade-off. Okay, so ultimately, what I put out there, it doesn't matter what people can be as upset with me as they want, but here's the point. If it's really about dogs, they would look at the information I put out regarding this issue with response, motives, and fit of change, and they would accept what I'm saying without any debate or without getting upset. They would make that trade-off instantly. I mean, there's no debate here. I mean, there's no reason for people to get – so therefore, when people don't do that, so I'm putting this information out. This information is as much for the food tree trainer as it is for the so-called balance trainer, or the pinch collar trainer, or the hybrid trainer, whatever you want to call yourself. I put the information out, and people simply won't accept it because then there has to be a trade-off. You have to surrender your how you think. You're actually going to lose money, okay, in this culture with how this culture has been created with this system of training which focuses on the human. So, but again, this goes right to the course of, you know, people that want to complain, and therefore, if you want to complain about why people are struggling with behavior issues, and it goes on, don't complain, okay? If you're a balanced trainer or whatever, and you want to talk about, you know, whatever, talk about whatever you want. Just don't talk about thinking that you know, or talk about the issue with quadrants and come off as though you know what you're talking about when you absolutely have no clue what you're talking about. Because I show the problems within the parameters of quadrants, and I take it down to at that relational level. So, again, you know, so, but again, going further with this is that's why there is no debate. Okay, so say someone wants to come out and debate me, it's going to last 30 seconds because I immediately am going to start talking about this issue of motives and response. And I'm going to break it down, and there's not going to be any further discussion because that's where it's going to stay. It's going to stay within what the problem is. And here is the problem with balanced trainers or food tree trainers or whoever. They're not going to be able to respond to anything I'm saying because they're not surrendering how they think. They're absolutely in rebellion to nature. So it's about the human's motives here, you know, with not wanting to accept what I'm saying. Now, here I'm going to go. Even when I'm looking at this issue about, you know, coming off on and coming across pretty hard here on people, because here the thing is about this thing about the human motives, and I'll talk about comparing it to my own journey. And the issue is the contradictions, the problems are still there. They're the same in 2016 as they were for me back in 1992. And so, you know, but the difference is, again, this again, I'll take this into issue of character, because it really ultimately does come down to the character of the individual, whether it's the trainer or the dog owner, is because dogs are relational animals. So, therefore, it definitely is about how people think. It's about the relationship. It's about surrendering how you think. And so the issue here, taking it back to, say, these so-called balance trainers or these remote collar trainers or whatever they want to define yourself as being, you know, the issue of loving truth or seeking answers, it's either going to start right away or it isn't, okay? And so for me back, you know, many years ago, I was at the point, and this is the thing to understand about wanting to, you know, having a love for the truth, wanting to know everything, is I wanted to know what the truth was. I mean, there's nothing that would hold me back from making a trade-off with wanting to know. So again, I started off, you know, with a crank and yank type of mentality. I did use treats through the starting off as a student, so to speak, and looking at, you know, the issue of quadrants and this whole concept about, you know, reinforcement. However, it did take me through being a trainer and when I started to really move forward in the relationship even with my police dogs, was coming to a point of seeing more clearly the problems and seeing the patterns lining up, seeing the struggles that were on certain groups of people. And so the issue here started becoming one of looking at, you know, how I was going to deal with that. And so, you know, or seeking answers. And that was the issue, was at that point of saying, okay, is it really the dog's fault, or is there some other piece of the puzzle here that's missing? Is there has to be something. And back then, again, when I started looking beyond devices, I started looking, you know, saying, okay, what this thing, this picture that's lining up here, people are going through the motions with this picture of what they're defining as change, with the typical obedience script with the sit down, come and stay, you know, what is that? Okay, is that actually, what is that? I know you look at that picture and say, okay, the dog's going through the motions and responding for the owner, even through commands, but there's something wrong here. Okay, the dog, you know, you could, and I saw that, even through clicker training, I had a very up close, and just so people understand, I had a very, very up close and personal encounter with that stuff for a period of time. I really was able to look at that really hard to the person I was associated with, and this person had a dog that, you know, was all titled up through clicker training, but this dog was expressing highly aggressive states, dominant states at times, and looking at that saying, okay, this isn't lining up. You know, how is it that dog can, you know, go through and that picture can be created at a drop of a hat when the person, you know, is setting it up through a certain, you know, environment. However, that dog's trying to wants to tear my arms off 10 minutes later. You know, this is not lining up here. This is, something is wrong. But then when I looked at that person, that individual, the owner themselves, their emotional attachment and, you know, how they interact with that dog throughout the day, and their psychology and therefore the ideology that they align themselves with, I started saying, well, that's interesting. Okay, there's something not right here. Clearly there's depth here. There's something more to dogs than simply this picture. You know, there has to be something. What's underpinning it? What's the reasons why? And how does this attach to the dog's decision-making process? So, ultimately, looking at that, you know, started to see consistent patterns, not through just this person, but other people. So when you look at concepts such as counterconditioning and different, you know, ways to you know, approach behavior or how a dog interacts, again, you have to look at the issue about motives. I mean, this is the issue of depth, of understanding what is really happening here when it comes to dogs and behavior and the causation of that relationally to the person themselves. So really what you do here is you're identifying the person as the causation, how they think. And that's that requires the ability to step back and be able to look at these patterns and be able to connect these relational dots to understand what's really happening. But again, going further here, when I talk about this issue, why I look at this as a character issue, is that the same problems that existed or the same questions that were there for me back many years ago are still there. And so here's my thing about trainers in general, is that if you're a trainer, more so than just an average dog owner that has a dog looking for help, if you're a trainer, you should know better. Okay, you're going to see, because you're going to be able to line it up. So therefore, at some point, you're going to be shoving the blame off onto the dog. I guarantee it. Even if you're a balanced trainer, there's going to be problems. If you're using remote collars and you're encountering dogs holding a lot of power, you're going to see problems. But again, this is where it comes to a decision point for people, whether or not they want to shove it off or not. Now, here's the thing, because here in this show, I'm going to be very honest about my feelings on this whole training, this dog training issue here, mainstream. My feelings on this, why I give people such a hard time, because here's the thing. If I encountered my twin back in 1995, say, with the information that I know right now, I would take my twin out to dinner, pay for the meal, and I would shake his hand and be so thankful that he gave me this information, because, you know, it connects the dots. You know, I wouldn't be arguing and debating and going on. I'd be saying, wow, that's incredible. Thank you very much. You made not just my day, you made my whole year. Whether or not I like the information or not. The thing is here, you have to look at the point is, it doesn't matter how you feel about something, you have to ask the question, is it true? That ultimately, that's all that should matter. Is it true? And the people's feelings, this is where you get about people's emotions and their motives, is again, this is the problem, is that it really comes down to people, their motives, the human's motives, being rotten to the core. You know, the disregard for the truth, what the truth is, ultimately is the problem in the dog training world. And I have actually figured this out in terms of what the problem is with when it comes to mainstream training and this problem with motives. And again, I'll go right into this issue about using, you know, motivators, using certain agents to build this picture, and people are looking for, well, we have to have some sort of motivation to incentivize the dog for a response to go into, and that's a major problem. And these trainers are so crystallized in their thinking, this is the problem, they've done this, and this is doing something over and over again, it becomes a negative reinforcement with trainers or balanced trainers, those who have embraced this narrative, which is a false one, that training somehow is a learning-based exercise, even working within quadrants. You know, I talk about this issue, I talk about it in my videos, because how it packages up is this issue of incentivize. You say, you know, positive reinforcement. Well, you have to look at, define that relationally, that term, and apply it to how it influences how the dog owner thinks. And this is where there's real depth here. You have to understand something. This is very deep. You have to apply critical thinking to what I'm saying to get what I'm saying. And I guarantee you, anyone coming in listening to this radio show, I bet you only 2%, it's so bad right now in the dog training world, less than 2% of any trainer, any established trainer listening to what I'm saying will get what I'm saying. They absolutely won't get it. And that's the problem. I bet you, and here's what, this is how I'm coming off pretty harsh here, but this is what I'm saying. A dog owner coming in listening to my show right now, with an open mind, with have not trained dogs, haven't shoved the blame off on any dogs yet, because this, again, this is a character issue. The average dog owner coming on this show will have a better chance of understanding what I'm saying right now than a dog trainer that has trained for, say, 1 year and start strapping on, you know, the remote collars on all the dogs immediately, or wearing the food treat pouch. They'll have a much greater chance of understanding what I'm saying because it's common sense. And they haven't haven't crossed those lines yet. So this is why it's, you know, people can be as angry as they want about what I'm saying, but again, it doesn't matter because I have yet to have one single, whether it's a balance trainer, a treat trainer, anyone come in and, challenge me when I'm talking about this issue of motives and response. Not one. You know, not one. I haven't had a single person yet actually refute anything I'm saying. Because here's the thing, it's impossible. You can't, because I'm right on the money here with what's happening in the dog training world. So it comes right down to the motives of people. So, but here's the thing. Again, this culture has been it's set up to be celebrity. It's set up for people finding their identity through training. So again, once you become, because here's the thing, you can be more successful than I am promoting as a balanced trainer or as a food treat trainer, be more successful than I am in this culture of thinking, but be in worse shape. Because you're not embracing the truth. So, and that's where we're at. So, but if you look at the problems, okay, if you look at these, what's happening right now worldwide in the dog training world, and what I'm saying will make complete sense. If you apply it to the amount of dogs being destroyed, the level of debate and divisiveness, and how popular this ideology is getting, even while more dogs are being destroyed, even while, breed-specific bans are taking hold, even why, I put out a couple articles recently from the Toronto Sun newspaper and a United Kingdom news article came out in the United Kingdom about the level of dog bites actually increasing 100% over the last 2-3 years, even while these breed-specific bans have already taken hold through pit bulls and various breeds. So it just shows you it doesn't matter. You know, it's all about people. So dogs are dogs. I mean, dogs are going to take power. They're relationally, how the culture thinks, is nothing more than weakness to a dog. It's the inability to surrender how people think and to come in the right relationship. So it's just very interesting here. So I want to go through some of this just to explain my perspective. So what I'm doing here is I'm putting out many videos. I'm going to start back into my radio shows. I'm not going to be mentioning names because it's a type. I mean, you can just, it doesn't matter if I mention 10 names. There's another 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000 trainers who are engaging in this type of these patterns of thinking, promoting this ideological mess. And so ultimately it doesn't matter. But I'm going to be sticking to the main problem, as it relates to where we're at. And here's the thing, and I'll say this, you know, very clearly for people: if you want real help with your dog, you should listen to what I'm saying. If you have an aggressive dog case, and you're engaging with these balance trainers or remote collar trainers or whomever, and you're encountering problems, you should listen to what I'm saying. It's because things aren't cleaning up, because these trainers are not taking you into that relational trench to get you to change at the level that needs to happen for your dog to come back from the edge. That ultimately is the problem here. Is it's easy. A lot of these, and I'll say this really clearly for people. I know this is going to make a lot of remote caller people upset, I see remote collar training in this culture right now as no different than the laziness that is associated with food trainers. Because, again, it's surface. You're not taking people into the trench. You're pushing a button. You want it to be easy. You're charging people all this money. And you want instant results. You're feeding into this culture of easy drive-through mentality. You know, people's you know, lazy expectations. And so it's just nothing more than a lazy way of training. And this is why you get the problem with remote callers, with the device awareness. Like, the person's always have to have that collar on that dog's neck. But again, don't be deceived. The real problem here is the other side, and without a doubt, is the food tree trainers. I mean, they are. You look at the scale of, you know, if you're tipping that scale, of course, you know, that's where the majority of, but here's the issue, is those who have remote collar trainers are focused on the remote collars. They're not focused on they're not identifying what the real problem even is. So it's a complete mess. The dog training world is in a complete mess, and it's never going to get any better. And these remote collar trainers, and I hate to say this, but I don't really feel sorry for these, at this point, for these bans taking hold through these remote collar bans everywhere, because it's lazy. You're not even, I mean, if you were doing it right, you wouldn't even need the remote collars at that level anyway. You would get rid of those, just like the, you know, cashier that's focused on the cash register and it can't see beyond the cash register to get down the basic math. I mean, it's ridiculous. So really, you're almost doing it to yourself, because you're overexposing remote calls. You're over-promoting them. You're using them at such a level to give. And don't get me wrong, the culture of society is such that, you know, it's a major problem, because people are thinking too far to the left anyway. But it's just not helpful, because you're not ultimately, you know, bringing the focus onto the person, saying, well, this is where change has to be defined, in and through the person themselves. So anyway, I'm going to end my show here in a minute, but again, I'm going to be putting out lots of information. Ultimately, this is my take on this. People have to come to some hard truth here in order for things to get better. I just don't train just to make money. I'm actually looking at the big picture. I'm actually, you know, I say, if you really do care about not just dogs, but how destructive this is for people, because ultimately, this goes beyond dogs. Dogs have their place in our lives, but this is extremely, this psychology, this type of thinking is very destructive to relationships at the human level as well. So, you know, my point here with all this is to say, people are doing it to themselves, and people have gotten very lazy. Training's hard work. If you're doing it right, if you're doing in the way that I'm, you know, saying it needs to be done, approaching it as a relational changing process, it's probably going to be the most difficult thing that you ever do, but more so for these trainers. I mean, you've been lazy, and now you're just comfortable. But, you know, but here's the problem: to go get to the end here at whatever point, only to discover that you're just scratching the surface. That's the culture. That's not me. Never has been. Never will be. And I'd encourage anyone that's listening to the show to really think about what I'm saying. If you really want to do things right, if you really want to make be very intentional and be able to pull any dog back from the edge, you should pay attention to what I'm saying. There's a better way. You can go deeper with this. So anyway, I encourage you to check out my other shows. Me putting out more radio shows here. Also more videos. I got lots of great videos. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can subscribe to my blog talk radio shows. Check out my information. I absolutely guarantee you, you're not going to find another trainer out there talking about this issue. You're just not. You're gonna see everything except. So anyway, thanks for watching. Hope you have a great day.